When was the last time you and your dad posed for a photo? Just the two of you, father and son. If you have that photo handy, send it over to us at centralstandard@kcur.org or tweet us at KCURCST. We want to tell you how handsome you look together, or how strong you look in any case. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, a look at an original exhibit at the Bruce R. Watkins Center celebrating African-American fathers.
From the first time the doctor placed you in my arms, I knew I'd meet death before I let you meet harm. Although questions arose in my mind, would I be man enough against wrong, choose right and be standing up? From the hospital that first night, took an hour just to get the car seated right. People driving off fast got me kind of upset. Got you home safe, placed you in your bassinet. That night, I don't think one wink I slept as I slipped out my bed to your crib. I crept, touched your head gently, felt my heart melt because I knew I loved you more than life.
Today, Central Standard, after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. It was playwright Arthur Miller who said that if a man wants to live on through the world, his masterpiece is his son. As fathers, all of us want that. He said, and it gets more poignant as we get more anonymous in this world. And what's more poignant, more timeless, than a portrait of father and son? This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Ahead of Father's Day, we examine a new exhibit at the Bruce R. Watkins Center called Fathers and Sons, A Legacy. Our guests joining us now are Jesse Barnes, Executive Director of the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center, and Samuel Jordan, the photographer and artist behind the exhibit Legacy, Fathers and Sons Photo Exhibition. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Now, Jesse Barnes, tell us about the exhibit and why you decided to stage it.
This is a special, I call it a groundbreaking exhibition because it looks at the positives of African-American men and their sons, and it varies in age. And I had seen a book out a few years ago, and it showed on the portrait cover a photograph of Bill Cosby and his son, the late son Ennis. And so we have done some original exhibitions, but this one I wanted to do because I wanted to celebrate African-American men.
What will visitors see when they walk through?
I think they get to see the relationship, the strength, and the bond between fathers and sons.
You have many fathers and sons, many fathers and families of varying ages. How many?
There are 67 portraits.
67 portraits.
Absolutely. Yes.
Of different fathers and sons' family.
That's right.
How is it situated around the center?
We actually have it in our main gallery, and it starts from people that have babies and small children all the way up through adult men and their fathers.
One common thread we see is there are a lot of juniors and seconds and thirds. Were you surprised by all that?
I was surprised that they wanted to carry on that legacy of their name, and they don't want their names to die.
Is that a popular naming convention in this part of the country with lots of older families that have been here for a while?
I believe so. Yes, it is.
Let's bring in Samuel Jordan, the photographer behind this project and a father. How did you begin this project, and how did it come about for you?
Jesse, I've known Jesse for a few years. Actually, I photographed his wedding, and Jesse contacted me and said that he needed a photographer to capture some bonds and connections with his special project that he was working on. I felt it a huge honor, and it was something that I had time in my schedule at the time to work with him on that, so it was a what I would call a huge undertaking for me. And, you know, most of my business has been around, it's centered around weddings and some family portraits in corporate and nonprofit events. But this gave me a little bit, I think this gave me a stronger edge on connecting with more families. I mean, I do family photography, but not that much, not in the essence of this. So I think this was a pretty strong for me. And I really appreciated him to do, you know, and ask me to do this because there are several photographers around here in Kansas City that he could have called.
Now, you're a father yourself. Do you have a favorite photo of yourself and your children? And did you think of that photo when thinking of an approach for this exhibit?
Honestly, I don't have a favorite photo of me and my son. My kids are, if anyone knows my kids, that they know that they have their own personalities. And my son, Andrew, when I asked him to take the picture with me, he was very, very eager. He picked out his own suit, picked out his own tie, and he got dressed. And when we did the photo, he posed himself. I didn't. Now, that could be because I'm a photographer and he's seen me take pictures. Sure. But I he was very eager to do it. And you honestly say we did it in two takes. I think the picture that we have together is one of my best photos with him.
How did your eye as a father and your eye as a photographer play into the treatment and approach with your subjects in this Fathers and Sons exhibit?
That's a good question.
It is a good question. Yeah. If I do say so. Yes.
I think a lot of that is, let me start by saying, I'm the oldest of four, two boys and two girls. My father is of the old school, where a lot of times you did not, growing up, you didn't have that brotherly connection with your father. Your father was was head of household. He was your disciplinarian, and he was someone that, kept the bond there together.
In other words, if you had food on the table and your legs weren't broken, you're taken care of. You're fine.
You're fine. And growing up, we had I had several friends that had a different type of connection with their fathers. And growing up, I've talked to my wife about this, is that we want to take, the strong side of my father and his leadership and guidance, and blend that in with what I would call as the new age of fathership. And that's something that, now I try to make time for my son in activities around the house, anything that's going on at a school, things like that. So it's something that I've always wanted to add a little bit more positive connection with my son that I did not have with my father.
And I like that word you use, going from fatherhood to fathership.
Father, yes, right.
What are some of your favorite subjects of this exhibit? Who stuck out for you? Who was the sort of the biggest ham, and what were some of the most powerful ones that you came across? Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot.
That is a good question. Jesse, I might need to ask you.
Jesse, what stood out for you?
That one. I don't know.
I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna come back to you, Jesse.
There were several that stood out that are that to me he did a unique job on. I think the Bassas, Reginald and Dr. Reggie Bassa, yeah. They had military in there, and it was just powerful. And there, it wasn't the young one. Then he had a photograph with, the Owens family. They have a sports picture. So certain pictures just stand out with them.
There's one thing I might say about that is when posing, I did notice something a little different, though. And this kind of goes back to my earlier comment about the connections or the bonds between father and son. I know that when I was doing a lot of the posing with the fathers and sons, the sons kind of made small innuendo comments or, jokingly comments to say that, wow, this is the closest I've ever gotten to my father.
Wow.
Or, this is a little weird. I feel a little, this is not the, that's something that maybe – the touching and the closeness in the photos with their fathers was something different.
Did you get a sense that for many of these family members, it might have been their first portrait of this kind?
That could be possibly, yeah, yeah. I did pick up on that. And that's something, and even go back to your early question, you know, going back to my father, honestly, I cannot think of a photo that I had taken with just myself, my father, and even my brother and I and our father. You know, to my knowledge, if we did do a picture, it was a family photo, but nothing that showed a connection with fathers and sons.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Ahead of Father's Day, we examine a new exhibit at the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center called Fathers and Sons. Our guests joining us now are Jesse Barnes, Executive Director of the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center, and photographer Samuel Jordan, the photographer and artist behind this exhibit, Legacy of Fathers and Sons Photo Exhibition. Kansas City, do you have a favorite photograph of yourself and your father that you'd like to tell us about? Also, in honor of our fathers, what's the most memorable thing your father ever told you? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook and Twitter are also an option. At KCURCST is our Twitter handle there. Once again, the number is 816-235-2888. Jesse Barnes, tell us about why this exhibit has such a special importance in the Black community specifically.
I think that there are so many things. This year, we had the Trayvon Martin tragedy. And I think that reminded us that the challenges that African-American males go through. And I wanted to look at a positive aspect of that. I grew up with my father, and I feel like he was the best dad. You know, everything from teaching you to ride the bike, we threw the football, he played basketball with us. But he also supported us in our studies and spiritual guidance. So I feel like that is what the portrayal should be of African-American fathers instead of the deadbeat father. We know that those exist, but what about those that are really doing what they should be doing? And
you had a unique experience with one of your family members working in the prisons and the approach to Mother's Day versus Father's Day. Tell us about that.
Sure. My father would often share a story on the pulpit. He's a pastor, about how on Mother's Day they decided to give greeting cards to the inmates, and they needed so many more. But they decided to do the same thing for Father's Day. When they brought the cards to them, they actually had to take them bags away. And the point of that story was that if they had had a father in their lives that really was a guiding type father, that they probably would not have been incarcerated.
So is this exhibit sort of a call to arms as well as a tribute?
Absolutely.
To Black fathers?
Yes. Our mission is to celebrate Kansas City, but also to tell, it should have a story or a point. And so the moral, I guess, of this exhibition is that we do want more fathers involved with their sons.
Samuel Jordan, tell us about the importance of fathers and sons in particular.
I believe what I would like my son to have the connection that I would like him to come to me with is never afraid. He also there is a level of admiration, there's a level of respect, and someone that is that I'm here, you know, not to criticize or demoralize or something. I'm here to be a coach, a mentor, and train him on things that to eliminate, you know, some mistakes that I have possibly made. And I want him to never to look up on me as someone that has there to judge him. I want that open communication with him to be able, you know, with sons, you know, sons are different. They treat their fathers differently. You know, most sons have a love for their mother stronger.
Right. Totally.
Totally stronger. And, you know, as a father, I'm still trying to understand that. Even when I was a kid, I can say that I did have a special connection with my mother, and that I wanted to always be her protector in such a way. So through, you know, my son is seven, so I'm teaching him some of the smaller basics of chivalry, opening up the door, and, you know, maybe yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and actually tending to some of my wife's needs, especially when I'm not around.
Being the man of the
being
house.
Being the man, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a photo exhibit. Artists here, Samuel Jordan and Jesse Barnes, executive director of the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Center. The exhibit is called Fathers and Sons, a Photo Exhibition. Kansas City, do you have a favorite photograph of your father? And would you like to tell us about it? Also, in honor of Father's Day, what's the most memorable thing your father has ever told you? 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. Once again, the number is 816-235-2888. As we're asking our listeners today, what's their most memorable thing their father ever told them? I'll pose that question to you, Jesse Barnes.
When I went to high school, my father's words of wisdom to me were to Jesse, keep your mouth shut and it'll keep you out of trouble because I was a very talkative child at home, but he didn't know at school I knew to keep my mouth shut. But those were his words to me, and it stood out to, you know, you watch, in other words, watch what you say.
Do you find that that sticks?
It sticks out in my mind and I laugh about it, but it's a true statement.
What about you, Samuel Jordan?
My father was a very strong religious man, and anything that he told us, it was a biblical reference to it. And one of the things I think that he instilled in me as well as my other siblings is that always seek God first. And my father was very big on being obedient to God's word. And any time that you step out of line of that, then that's where he will be there to remind you, you know, where you went wrong and what you ought to do and be about doing. So that was a little something different. And other than that, then as I grew up and, you know, all men go through that period where they're dating and trying to find that special one and so forth. My father always told me that I needed to, or that I should find someone that is identical to my mother. And I thought that was very...
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, exactly. So that was a little different for me. You know, the new age now, what's going in, the way that families are raising their daughters and sons is different from what my father and my mother came up. So it's people, we have become, I would say, very lax, or we have, we've become more acceptable to things. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing right now. I'm still a new father. Like I said, I'm sure my time is going to come where I'm going to run into my obstacles with my kids and raising, but it's something that, that I feel that sometimes you just should not compromise on. And I think that's one of the things that I'm pretty big about.
We're talking about the potency and poignancy of fatherhood and fathership with our two guests, Samuel Jordan and Jesse Barnes. Jesse Barnes is the executive director of the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center, and Samuel Jordan is the photographer of an exhibit called Fathers and Sons, A Legacy. We're asking, what is the most poignant thing, the most memorable thing your father has ever told you? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. William in Independence, welcome to Central Standard. Hello.
Hey.
Talk to us.
Yeah, the best advice my dad always gave me was learn from other people's mistakes.
learn from other people's mistakes. And have you followed that maxim?
I've always tried to.
Thank you very much for joining this conversation. Grant in KC, welcome to Central Standard.
Yes, my father had a talk with me one time, and he said something that has guided our family is that if you feel that something is right in your heart, then do it.
Follow your heart, in other words.
Right.
Right. What were some of the most memorable moments you had with your father, Samuel Jordan?
My father was a businessman. He taught me the ins and outs of entrepreneurship, being independent, and actually knowing how to confront and deal with individuals from a business perspective. One of the things I can say about that I attribute my father with is that he has always been there to give advice on, you know, things that I've done wrong and things that I'm doing right. He's a father that is proud of his kids. He's proud of the bond with a family. And I think that's attributed with his side of the family, with his siblings. They're all close. I mean, there were several of them, and all of them are, you know, they're all spread across the country. But one of the things that he has always shared with me was that no matter what happens, family always comes first.
What about you, Jesse Barnes? A poignant moment with dear old dad.
I have several, but one that stands out is when I went away to college. My father was only one of my parents that could go, and so we had a special time bonding with that. You know, I got to even meet his college roommate, but it was a really bond. You know, that I went to school in Atlanta and left Kansas, so that was a major experience that I got to share with my dad. And you know, he's always been supportive. He's always, you know, made opportunities. You know, took out time to come to whatever events we were a part of.
We have Carl in Raytown. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine, sir.
You have a favorite photo of your father that you'd like to describe. Tell us about it.
Oh, yes. Actually, I have several. But the one that really comes to mind, I lived most of my adult life in Chicago. And I had come back to Kansas City in the mid-90s for a family reunion, and my father was a Kansas City police officer, and my brothers, you know, we all were taking family photos, and my father had on his police uniform, and we all kind of mocked my father because he's a very proud man, and he's a very vain man. So when he would take pictures, you know, he would always position himself sometime, you know, instead of looking at the camera, you know, he's looking up. You know, like how vain people do. So each one
looking
of my
looking away
brothers,
from the frame, huh?
Yes. Each one of my brothers, we all looked in a different direction instead of looking at the camera. And, you know, to this day, you know, whenever we look at that photo, you know, that photo always comes to mind. And speaking of which, you know, by my father being a police officer, you know, he's I guess you could say from the old school, he was sort of a hardcore man. And the things that I learned from my father, I learned quite a bit. But on the flip, a lot of the tools that I needed as a man to be successful in life, I didn't quite get that. So I had to battle with alcohol and drug addiction. So therefore, my son saw me wrestle with that. But as a man, when I became a father, I had always told myself, even when I was a teenager, that I never wanted to be a man like my father was, emotionless, distant. So me and my son to this day, we have, and as a parent, as a sort of new age or new school parent, I don't have that my son is my best friend. No, I never even put that into mind. As a man, I am still my father, I mean my son's father, and that's the way I look at it. And as a result of that, my son is very, very successful. He's in the military. He's an officer in the military. He has a very successful career. He's a family man, and we are very, very close to this day. You know, I tell him that I love him. We have our tender moments. We have all sorts of pictures, you know, and I really love to see him in his military regalia, you know, because those are things that, you know, I cherish. So, you know, I just wanted to give that input.
Thank you very much, Carl and Raytown, for joining this conversation on fathers and fatherhood and fathership. Our guests are Jesse Barnes, executive director of the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center. Bruce Watkins is in there, by the way, with his son. And Samuel Jordan is also a photographer and artist behind the exhibit, Legacy Fathers and Sons, a photo exhibition. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, more discussions about fatherhood and fathers and sons, plus a chat with someone from Hallmark to tell us about Father's Day. Meanwhile, Kansas City, do you have a favorite photo of yourself and your father that you'd like to tell us about? Also, in honor of our fathers, what's the most memorable thing your father ever told you? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFault. Join us tomorrow for a show looking at what's going on in the KC housing market, and we're still looking for some stories from you. Have you purchased or sold a home recently? What was your experience? Shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Meanwhile, if the new American father feels bewildered and even defeated, let him take comfort from the fact that whatever he does in any fathering situation, he has a 50% chance of being right. Those are words from a man once known as America's dad, Bill Cosby. And ahead of Father's Day, we're discussing fatherhood, fathership, a new word that came on today's show, and the legacy of fathers and sons. Kansas City, what's the funniest thing your father has ever said that stuck with you to this day? What makes a father-son relationship unique to a family or your family? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. Joining us now by phone is Deidre Zoller, a senior editor in Season Cards at Hallmark, for insight onto what's new in the pulp card exchange for Father's Day this year. Deidre, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Is Father's Day popular for exchanging cards?
Oh, yes. It's one of the fourth largest card-sending holidays in the United States. So, yeah, people are sending cards on Father's Day.
What are the three events that are ahead of Father's Day? I'm assuming Mother's Day is one of them.
Yeah, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, and Christmas.
What are the, we've been talking about fathers and sons.
Mm-hmm.
What are the top-selling kinds of cards for Father's Day? Break them down.
Well, I think in general, most people that buy cards on Father's Day want to find something that's going to allow them to affirm or honor their dad and express their love. And we also have cards that just want to wish dad a very nice day, because a lot of people see their dad as hardworking and, you know, always actively trying to do things to enhance their family's lives. So they just want him to take a day off and relax.
Certainly. Are son-to-father cards less popular?
I wouldn't say they're less popular. I think that there are some subtle differences between the card that, say, a daughter might send to her dad and what a son might want to say to his father. And sometimes they may just want, like I said, a relaxing day card to send to their dad rather than go into a lot of the details of their relationship. But what we are finding is that usually daughters, when they're sending cards to their dad, they're thinking about a lot of the memories that they shared with their dad. We have many cards that feature daughters when they're smaller and their dads are maybe dancing with them or trolling them around. And so they have really fond memories of that kind of engagement with their dad. Whereas with sons, we may have cards that are really strong sellers that focus on how much the son didn't realize what went into being a good dad. And so they want to acknowledge to their dad on Father's Day, I really appreciate all the work that you did being my dad, and I'm appreciative of all the examples that you set for me so that I could be a good dad to my kids.
So as a senior editor of these greeting cards, mm-hmm. is there a different approach you take for lack of a better word, man-on-man or boy-on-man love mm-hmm. from fathers to sons?
Yeah, I do think, like I said, in terms of how men kind of interact with one another, you can tell me if this is true. I'm just kind of going by what research says and what I've observed with my my brothers and my dad. But they don't tend to be as emotive when they're talking. I mean, what I mean by that is they're not going to be big on expressing a lot of emotion. Even though their emotion is there, it runs deep. At least this is my perception. They want to be a little bit more straightforward. They want to be a little bit more simplistic in their messages to their dad, because they may not feel comfortable using a lot of emotional language, but the emotional connection is still there. So we're going to try to write cards that men can send to other men that are emotionally compelling and that resonate with the consumer, but they may not be as memory rich. They may not, like I said, use a lot of emotional language, but it's very sincere, straightforward, and clearly wants to reflect the love they have for their dad.
But as we mentioned, times have definitely changed.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I was more likely to get a slap upside the head, whereas now I still kiss all my sons on the face, and they're like, you know what I mean? So it's a different generation. Is humor important when you're giving your dad a card? Maybe getting him to laugh.
Well, yeah, I think that's also an avenue that some of our consumers use because, again, like you said, maybe they're not that comfortable expressing emotion directly, so they use humor as a filter. And as a matter of fact, you know, we have a strong humor line that has cards that are specifically focused on types of things that are trendy today. Like, for example, we're in an election year, and we have some, I guess, typical icons that you would associate with dad. He's this particular card that I'm thinking of, he's grilling, and, you know, that's a pastime that lots of dads can relate to. But it also has an image of our president, Barack Obama, saying, by cutting back on pollutants, we can ensure that, and the dad is saying, not now, Mr. President, because, of course, all the fumes are coming off of his grill. And it's, and then on the inside it says, it's your constitutional right to have a happy Father's Day. So we kind of like to tie into what's current, things that dads can relate to, and that a person sending a card might feel comfortable wishing him a great day, but not going into a lot of emotional depth. So that is a way that some of our card senders will use to connect with dads. So we have a variety of avenues that they can pursue to do that.
Kansas City, what's the funnest thing your father ever did with you? What's the funniest thing he ever told you? What has stuck with you to this day? Do you have an indelible memory of your father, either in photo, still form, or in your mind? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. We should mention that humor cards account for about 30% of Father's Day's sales. So if you want to make dad laugh, that's a good way to go. We're on the phone with Didra Zoller, senior editor for In Season Cards at Hallmark as well. We got Patrick on the line from Lawrence. Welcome to Central Standard, Patrick.
Good morning. Originally, I'm from Flint, Michigan. I've been down here in Lawrence for a little over a year. One of my favorite photographs is of me and my father standing on opposing wings of a Cessna. He was a fighter pilot, P-51 in World War II, and I was an aerial reconnaissance man in the Army. And I was the only son that followed in the flight line. And one of the funniest things he said to me was, at least I know if I have a heart attack, son, you'll be able to put the plane on the ground.
That's something very, very memorable. Thank you, Patrick, for contributing to the conversation about fathers and sons and the legacy thereof. Mark in Olathe, welcome to Central Standard.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
About the most important thing my father ever communicated to me, and it wasn't just one time he said something, but it was that he was not going to make me in his mold. He had high hopes for me, of course, and he would have been thrilled if I had been interested in chemistry and pharmacy as he was, but my thing was more machinery and manufacturing. And he fully supported me in everything that I tried to do. He made sure that I had the opportunity for a good education, and that spills down into my children. I have different ideas and hopes than they do, but I have tried to make sure that I supported them in the efforts of being who they were.
Thank you very much, Mark, for your contribution to the conversation about fathers and sons, a legacy, fathers and kids, what type of indelible impressions your fathers have given you over the years, and what has stuck with you to this day. Once again, 816-235-2888 is the number, 816-235-2888. Deidre Zoller, senior editor in Season Cards at Hallmark, do you remember something poignant your father told you?
Well, it's funny that you would ask that because last weekend we were, my brothers and I have two brothers, and we were in Florida visiting with my dad because we were giving him a 70th birthday celebration. And part of our tribute to him was to talk about the ways in which he impacted us. And I have to say, for my dad, he was a very, I would say, serious minded person. He's very strong. He was not very emotive outwardly, but I know his emotions were there. But the thing that he emphasized the most with us, too, was just being able to take care of ourselves, to be financially stable. And I talked about the story of being maybe just 10 years old, and when we talked with our dad, we would have to go to his study. We were, like, summoned to his study, and he had this big desk. It was almost like a banker desk in his study, and you would have to sit down in front of the desk like you were applying for a loan or something when we asked him for money. And one of the things that he taught me was just that whole idea of, you know, being responsible, mm-hmm. and not just with money, but he always, you know, he would always say, you know, you need to take responsibility for your actions. You need to be a responsible person. And I just always remembered that. From the smallest thing to the largest thing, we were always held accountable for the decisions that we made. So for me, that was a life lesson. I just always believed that. I felt like my dad was a person who was always of his word, and he taught that personal responsibility ethic, you know, throughout my childhood and during my young adult years, and even now, it still resonates in my head that I have to be accountable. So that was one of the things that I always remember my dad focusing on.
We're speaking with Deidre Zoller, senior editor for In Season Cards at Hallmark. She's been talking to us about the popularity and nature of Father's Day cards and some of the poignant things her father told her and memories that lasted a lifetime for her with her and her father. Thank you for talking with us this morning, Deidre.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been my pleasure.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Ahead of Father's Day, we're discussing fatherhood and the legacy of fathers and sons, but not just fathers and sons, fathers and daughters as well, fathers and children. Our guests joining us are Jesse Barnes, executive director of the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center, and Samuel R. Jordan, the photographer and artist of Legacy Fathers and Sons Photo Exhibition. That's what it's called, Legacy, a Father and Sons Photo Exhibition. Kansas City, what's the funniest thing your father has ever said that stuck with you to this day? Do you have an indelible memory of your father? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Central Standard at KCUR.org is also an option. Now, this exhibit has more than 60 portraits of fathers and sons. What do your portraits, Samuel Jordan, say about the bond between these fathers and sons, and what were you looking to capture as part of this exhibit?
One of my primary, I will say my primary points of emphasis in taking these pictures were not to place these fathers or sons in very uncomfortable positions. I want them to, even though, you know, it's my job to kind of coach or guide them into a pose that looks presentable behind the camera and something that they may want to use. But most, I think the most important part was to try to keep a lifestyle image, something that is timeless, that that they will be able to take a look at and put on their wall or put on their mantle or their desk, and something that depicts that there's, you know, they can sit back and say, you know, this is a good looking image of my dad. My dad looks good, or my father does, or the father to say, you know, my son is, you know, is a chip off the old block. He's I like what we look together. But, you know, one of the things I can say that most of the men that did, or fathers and sons that did come take pictures, they all did not come in all suits and ties. So that was one of the unique things that I did notice about them. So you could tell a lot about their lifestyle and home life, and you know, they still wanted to remain free and relaxed. And you know, that was something different. You know, most black male or black fathers and sons of black home life, we tend to, when it comes to take a picture, we all want to get dressed up. We want to put a suit and we want a tie and we want to put on our Sunday best. And this, you know, doing this exhibit, it was not that case. It was a little something different that that most people really felt that they can be themselves.
And speaking of which, Jesse Barnes, as a prelude to this exhibit, you said that this exhibit was for African-American fathers who have built or are in the process of building a strong bond. Talk about that word process of building. Fatherhood or fathership is a process. Some of these fathers may not be in the home or may not, in my case, even live in the city with two of my sons. Some may be reuniting with their sons, and this might have been the impetus for that. Talk about that key word, process.
One of the quotes that was in the exhibit said that it is better to build men than to repair them. And Frederick Douglass actually said that. And that's what I feel like in the relationships with these fathers. They are not trying to have to pick up the pieces, or maybe they are. Maybe the piece, some of the foundation was laid, but they're in the process of adding more bricks. And that's the relationship. Relationship is something that is that you have to have constant communication with that person. They may be from afar, but it is that communication and that, and also a guidance. I think of the film Lion King, and that father had died, but his spirit was still there. And for me, that is the same way. My father may not be with me every day, but his what he put into me is helping me to be built for the future.
Now, Samuel, we live in a very photo-crazy world right now with the equivalent of 5 photos a day floating around the internet for each person on the earth. What makes portraits and moments special? How do we maintain the profundity in a world of constant picture-taking with,
wow,
with our children?
You would ask me a question like that.
Yes, I do.
Photography has changed. It's not your typical portrait, historic image where you saw your family standing, everyone is all poised, looking different, you know, looking into the camera, and everyone has this serious look. Photography now has become, when it comes to family, things have become more lifestyle, more lifelike. Photos that depict or tell carefree moments. And all I could say, I mean, granted, you know, there are thousands upon thousands of photographers out here where, you know, portrait work now has gotten away from the studio. Things have become, portrait work now has turned into, you know, outdoor photography, home life, going into a family's home and doing photos, what we call as lifestyle or photography. You'll see the terminology on some photographers' profiles that they're a lifestyle photographer. And that's usually what that means. It's gotten away from a lot of the seriousness when it comes to taking pictures. So
with this portrait, you sort of bring it back to the essence of looking straight ahead.
With this one, yeah, because I think this was a little different just because of the setting that we were in. We were, of course, out of the studio, but we were on location at the Bruce R. Watkins. We did not have the ability to go out and schedule sessions in their own natural habitat with them. So that might be something that we could do together in the coming future. But because of this, we still, you know, there are, you know, like I said, I met fathers that were proud of their, if they didn't have a son, it was their grandson that they brought. And, you know, I remember one gentleman who brought in, I believe he's a carpenter or mm-hmm. some kind.
Tools.
And he, and I think it's his grandson.
Mm-hmm. Wofford.
Ms. Wofford, okay. He actually, and you could tell that his grandson was proud to be with his grandfather. And actually, you know, one of the things that I think they proud themselves of is their handyman tools. He had his drill bit and his grandfather had his. Straight edges, you name it, they all had it. So photography has challenged us as photographers not just to put people in very uncomfortable positions, because you can't do the same poses with everyone. And that's one of the things I did notice about, because you could sense if I was, you know, wanting to put someone or place the father or the son in a, you know, in a very uncomfortable position. As you heard me say earlier, there was some positions where some fathers felt or some sons felt that this is the closest that they ever been to their father.
Chris in Lawrence has something to share about his father. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Longtime listener, big fan.
Thank you.
So I got a couple quotes from my dad. He was quite a card. one of his ones to kind of get me going to try things, he'd say, Chris, just like the girl next door, you never know until you ask. And then, because this was his way. You know, he wasn't heavy-handed or disciplined, but he liked to make me smile because I was always kind of hard on myself. And sometimes and it took me a while to figure this one out, because I didn't, probably till I was 10, he said, boy, you're just a shot in the dark. And, you know, that's kind of just the way things are, you know. Say, well, that's what you get sometimes. You get what you get.
Certainly. Thank you, Chris, for giving us your take and your things that your father says, shot in the dark. Those things stick with you for a lifetime. Connie in Topeka, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that I'm from a little town about 15 miles north of Topeka called Meriden, and my dad was always such a larger-than-life figure. Whether that was true or not, I don't know. In 2002, when he passed away and we had his memorial service, the funeral home was packed. It was overflowing, a couple hundred people really that liked my dad. Something that he said my entire life growing up was repeated by the entire congregation as the minister talked about my dad. He said, you know, and Jerry had a saying, and I mean, it just shocked me that we could all say it together. He always had little ditties, but it was use it up, wear it out, make do, do without. I truly believe that he thought that that should have been a national saying, but it served me well all my life. And I think the people in Meriden also gained something from it.
Repeat that for us real quick before you get off. Use it up.
Sure. Use it up. Wear it out. Make do, do without.
All right. Thank you, Connie, for that very interesting and very long-lasting and catchy phrase as well. Ahead of Father's Day, we're with Samuel Jordan and Jesse Barnes talking about an exhibit Legacy Fathers and Sons Photo Exhibition at the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center. We're also talking about poignant sayings and memories from your father over the years. Ken, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I was the seminar director for the National Center for Fathering here in Kansas City for 5 years and had the tremendous honor to speak to thousands of men all over the country as I would set up multi-thousand-man events for Dr. Canfield, who's the founder of the National Center, to come in and teach dads how to be more effective fathers. And so when I would have a chance to talk to these men over coffee, over dinner, or whatever, I would always ask them two questions. If you were to raise a child again, what's one thing that you would absolutely do again, and what's one thing that you would never do again?
And give us something quickly on those two things as we're running out of time here.
They were both the same answer about 75% of the time, and it was time. Those that did it well would absolutely do it again because they reaped the benefits. And those that didn't do time with their children reaped the consequences, and they would give their right arm to do it over again.
Mm. Thank you very much, Ken, for that very poignant thing. What does legacy mean to you, real quickly, Samuel Jordan?
Man, you hit me up with these strong words.
You got to be ready, man. It's live radio.
Legacy. Setting a laying your mark on Kansas City, or the life, or the impacts, or impacting the people that you are surrounded by.
That was a very good answer, by the way. Ahead of Father's Day, we're discussing fatherhood, legacy, fathership, and fathers and sons, as well as fathers and daughters. Our guests were Jesse Barnes, executive director of the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center, and Samuel Jordan, the photographer behind a new exhibit there, Fathers and Sons, a photo exhibition. It opened June 9th and remains open now at 3700 Blue Parkway, where the Bruce R. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center is. Thank you both of us for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And tune in tomorrow for a look at what's going on in the KC housing market. And we're still looking for some stories from you. Have you purchased or sold a home recently? What was your experience? Shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org to join that conversation tomorrow. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi with help from Charlie Upchurch. Up to Date is next with a look at the myths and mysteries of the state of Kansas. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.